Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hitchcock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'll be speaking about precious faith. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm reading verse 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." The word precious is number 2424. It comes from some other words which means of equal value or honor, or like precious. Peter wanted the church to use the precious faith they had. Those who know their faith is valuable use it for everything. Most do not know how they can overcome through faith and the righteousness of God. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. This is in 1 John chapter 5. I'm reading verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Everyone has the same quantity and quality of faith, but it is to be used for you to complete the calling of God on your life. Faith is not to be used for personal gain, but seeking God's commands. The knowledge of God can be accessed by grace at salvation. However, grace also needs to be multiplied along with the peace of God to walk with Him diligently." Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The grace that you received at salvation came as a result of humbling yourself. However, your foundations are deepened by submitting to Him and obeying God consistently. The peace of God will help you through those things that are not comfortable. Walking in the Spirit is like walking in the eye of a hurricane. You have to cling to Him, trust and obey. We read in John chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. This is John chapter 1. I'm reading verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 15. "John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Verse 16. "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Peter had seen the majesty of Jesus Himself and how He lived practically, listening to His Father in heaven and never sinned, full of grace and truth. Jesus had the peace of God and was never anxious or concerned about His basic needs being met at any time. Jesus, the King of Kings, how He paid His taxes with a coin that came from the mouth of a fish to show he was not of this world, but directed by the Father. He did not use his divinity to perform miracles. He was like us in every way, but without sin. He had to ask and did only what he saw his Father doing. Peter continued in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, and reading verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Those who are blind in the church today do not walk consistently by faith. If they did, they would be asking God what to do in the small things and have the fruit of the Spirit. Baby Christians are often attracted to the gifts of the Spirit instead. They become envious of vainglorious ministry performed by those who are also not consistently following Jesus. In this way, their faith is weak or non-responsive when it comes to moving a mountain. Doing miracles at the start is like trying to move a mountain without any weight training. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The church needs reminding again and again that the knowledge received at salvation was supposed to be multiplied through a personal relationship with God in the knowledge of Him. This is not the knowledge about God or your personal needs, but on completing your calling to glory and virtue. By diligently seeking God for answers, you get to see how He provides for you daily. The devil uses ways that seem right for those with a heart after God, so your faith gets misdirected, making it ineffective. We read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 4, Joseph Hedgecott writes, sadly, I've discovered through my many years of traveling around the world that few Christians properly test what they believe. They do not ask the Spirit to reveal truth to them, nor do they seek the Spirit's confirmation about what they believe to be truth. The proof of this failing is evident in the many different beliefs Christians have on the same doctrines. We are divided because we use natural reasoning and understanding to determine what we believe to be the truth, rather than ask the Spirit to reveal the truth. Those following Christ should have repented of all dead works and rely on the Spirit bearing witness. Those awake spiritually should have an eagerness to add to their faith through being led and controlled by the Spirit in all things. The devil tries to soak up any spiritual eagerness. He has filled the church with leaders, teaching methods, and dead works to keep people busy with shallow acts of ministry. Through hirelings and false teaching, the devil has corrupted churches that rely on natural reasoning and understanding to come to truth. The methods of learning used in the church is the same as in the world. Peter continued in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm reading verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 6. and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Verse 7. And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Verse 8. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacks these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The word diligence in Strong's is number 4710. It comes from another word meaning speed, that is, by implication, eagerness or earnestness, business-minded or carefulness, diligence or forwardness, even haste. The alternative to diligence is spiritual apathy, a method or teaching that does not involve the promises of God. Denying yourself daily and taking up your cross appeals to the flesh and will only produce limited results. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew chapter 7. I'm reading verse 22. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. If you have the right kind of eagerness, use it to do your first works correctly now. Doing your first works right will produce a completely different outcome from the start. Jesus continued in Matthew 7, 24, I'm reading to verse 29. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it's founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And even one that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. The people who were uneducated recognized that Jesus' teaching was very different to the Pharisees and religious leaders that the devil had trained through spiritual ignorance. Every child of God who has the Spirit of God inside can now do things out of love, following Christ. Paul said to Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. This is Titus chapter 2, I'm reading verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Paul saw the importance of self-denial to prevent further corruption and false teaching in the church. Titus was told by Paul to teach on all these issues, even if people despised him. Those who are born again should be zealous to do something that God says, and even learn from their mistakes, corrected by the Spirit, when he does not bear witness. In the Amplified Bible, Titus 2, verses 12 and 13 says, it has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world, awaiting and looking for the fulfillment, the realization of our blessed hope, even the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Your hope should be to serve God corruption-free in this world through meekness, so you never have to get in the flesh again if you're born again. The kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit. You may have to suffer, but your righteousness will be brighter than the sun in the sky when you're walking by faith. David said in the Psalms, this is Psalm 37. I'm reading verses 1 all the way to verse 11. This is Psalms chapter 37, starting in verse 1. A psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 2. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. In the book The Guilted Prison, revised edition in chapter 4, on page 40, Joseph Edgecott writes, the root of all sin is your lordship, along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh, or do good works, to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests. But instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. Your faith is like a muscle for you to do things that are pleasing to God daily. Your faith only works when it does not get misdirected and conforms to God's perfect will in thought, purpose, and action. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, this is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. You will never be righteous if you keep making excuses for sin. Noah Webster in 1828 defined righteousness as, number one, purity of heart and rectitude of life, conformity of heart and life to the divine law, righteousness as used in scripture and theology, in which it is chiefly used, is nearly equivalent to holiness, comprehending holy principles and affections of heart and conformity of life to the divine law. It includes all we call justice, honesty, and virtue. With holy affections, in short, it is true religion. Number two, applied to God, the perfection or holiness of his nature, exact rectitude or faithfulness. Number three, the active and passive obedience of Christ by which the law of God is fulfilled. Number four, justice, equity between man and man. Number five, the cause of our justification. Jesus fulfilled the law and its requirements by submitting himself to the Father to direct his life as he planned. Jesus listened to the Holy Spirit just like you can, and he did not sin. You will not be declared righteous by trying to keep the law. However, Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now through the Spirit, we received at salvation, we all have a direct link to the mind and heart of God. We do not have to rely on our ability to understand and properly comprehend the written word with our minds. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, "Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you cannot obey his voice immediately, in humility, seek God why you cannot obey." Jesus was submitted to God in every detail. Use your faith for daily righteousness, for both large and small things. This includes asking God what clothes to wear and where to go, and get the daily food he directs. To help, you may need a spending limit set by the Holy Spirit so that you do not deceive yourself and just buy what you want. Use your faith for new opportunities that come as a result of putting his kingdom first. You do not become spiritual just by being born again, but by walking and talking with him on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, I'm reading verse 31. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed?" Verse 32. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Without using your faith regularly, it will become vain and empty. It needs stretching and exercising every day. You also need faith for overcoming evil that is in each day by hearing his voice. James said in James chapter 2, verses 17 to 20, I'm reading. This is in the book of James, chapter 2. I'm reading verse 17. "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Verse 18. "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Verse 19. "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou believest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Verse 20. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" In the book My Sheep and My Voice, revised edition in chapter 1, on knowing God, on pages 2 and 3, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "My personal relationship with God is of little benefit to you, because you must experience it for yourself. You may praise God for what you see in my life or someone else's, but it's not the same as having that personal relationship yourself. It's somewhat like being a spectator at a sports event rather than being a player in the game. It is enjoyable to watch the game, but it's a lot more exciting to be involved in the actual playing. There is much more to win or lose if you're a player. It's the same way in having a relationship with God. Because of what I have invested in developing personal fellowship with God, that relationship is of far greater value to me than it is to someone who may observe that relationship. They may see its merit, but it doesn't mean a lot to them because they haven't spent the years developing it that I have. You came to this earth to do the will of God, not to do something for yourself. Your calling and election is not secure if you do nothing with the salvation you've received through a life of faith. This is what the Father did for us all at the beginning. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 6. This is Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 6. "And raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." The Father in heaven put you in a place of inheritance in Christ, even though you did not deserve to be there. This position is based on you abiding. If you get in the flesh, you're going back to the darkness. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I'm reading in the book of Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You have been given an inheritance with the saints in light. We're making no excuses for sin. There is no darkness in God. So when you come in his kingdom, expect conviction to start after a while. At salvation, you were translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Paul was a Jew. So for him, this was such an amazing revelation. In the Old Testament, there was an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. I'm reading verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Only once a year the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, the inner chamber of the sanctuary in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, but this was separated by a veil from the outer chamber. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the curtain that was in front of the holy place ripped from the top to the bottom. The Holy of Holies was reserved for the presence of God and could be entered only by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. Jesus is our high priest and made a way for you to experience the presence of God daily by grace through faith when you abide in him. If you are in the flesh, you will only experience condemnation. Paul also said in Colossians 1 and verse 14. This is Colossians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The new covenant is based on the blood of Jesus that does not need to be shed again and again. You can be forgiven as well after your first encounter by his grace if you confess your sin. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. This is 1 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because of God's grace, you can now learn from your mistakes. Whatever gets you out of the presence of God is sin. By consulting your own mind, you will end up sinning again and become separated from God. The blood of Jesus can remove unrighteousness, but it cannot stop you from sinning. So do not deceive yourself. You have to live in the light and repent at the root to stop sinning with the help of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you abide in Christ, you will get all the help you need to change. Be holy and obey the Spirit consistently. This is also the fruit of an active faith. Godly sorrow is involved in repentance, so you have to trust God for the emotions you need in this process as well. Paul explained in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm reading verse 10. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. Verse 11. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things, you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. By going through the process of repentance, you will clear yourself with God's help. Your repentance will include a fresh fear of God, a vehement desire for truth, a holy indignation at sin, and a determination to put things right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Repentance is a work of the Holy Spirit, and you will also be comforted if you are following Christ. He will be your teacher if you deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Jesus said to the disciples in John 14 and verse 26. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, and read verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit will teach, convict, and comfort you when you make no excuses because of the pressures you experience on the narrow way, following Christ. Peter continued in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. In the Amplified Bible, in 2 Peter 1 verses 5 to 7, says, for this reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. In exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness or piety. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. Here is the sequence that Peter gave based on these verses that should complement your faith if you're not making excuses about living in the Spirit on the narrow way. Number one, virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. Number two, knowledge, intelligence leading to wisdom. Number three, temperance or self-control. Number four, patience or steadfastness. Number five, godliness or piety. Number six, brotherly kindness or affection. Number seven, charity, that is Christian love. All of these seven qualities start with the same knowledge of God and with the power that God gave to everyone born again by faith to kill and overcome the flesh. You should have counted the cost to follow Christ. In the book My Sheep and My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 7 on counting the cost on page 82, Joseph Hedgecott says, just as a builder must count the cost before starting a construction project, you must count the cost to follow Jesus Christ. If you refuse to pay the price for Jesus to become your whole life, you will never enjoy constant communion with God. You will not be led by the Spirit consistently. Many believers make an effort to walk in this message for a season. However, they only get to know the Lord in a limited way. Their lack of success is the direct result of their unwillingness to give up their lordship. They refuse to count the cost or pay the price to follow Jesus because they do not trust him. Even though they profess to have faith in God, they're reluctant to give him full control. You were given the promises to be used with faith in order to overcome the corruption that's in this world through sin. Miracles come later, when your faith is purified from serving any other agenda. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. This is 1 John chapter 4, and read verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. A false prophet will get you to believe that Jesus did not really come in the flesh, human form, that he had some kind of an advantage over us. A false prophet will say to you, you have great power and you just need to release it or claim it without asking God everything. However, Jesus had to endure hardness like a good soldier and suffer to overcome. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3. Without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despiser of those that are good. Verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Some are trying to get more power, but are not necessarily seeking the will of God. You submit to his workmanship in Christ to complete your salvation and do the work he ordained for you to do ahead of time. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. The early disciples had to wait for the power first, so they could overcome the flesh and do what Jesus directed them to do by the Spirit daily and consistently, and teach Jesus' commands. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Whereunto I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of those things, that you know them and be established in the present truth. Jesus is our example of righteousness as the Son of Man. He was not the son of Adam, who listened to a wrong voice. Jesus had life in himself because he never did anything independently without asking the Father. Jesus said in John 5, verse 26 to 30. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so have given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he's the Son of Man. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 29. And shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. The word will in Strong's is number 2307, from the prolonged form of another word meaning determination. That is actively a choice, a purpose, a decree, abstractly a volition, or passively an inclination, a desire, a pleasure. Jesus is qualified to judge because he came in the flesh and never sinned, even though he was tempted in every way like us. Jesus was given authority and got more because he was submitted to the Father by faith. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. If you ask God everything, it's possible to depart from evil. If you do not, then you become trapped again. You were set free from sin to be righteous by using childlike faith every day. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 20 to 23. This is Romans chapter 6. I'm reading verse 20. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end of that, everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with the living God, with fruit unto holiness. He is faithful to make sure that all your needs are met, so you can concentrate on your godly calling. The priority is to use the gift of eternal life, because the wages of sin is death. Those following Christ see the gift of eternal life as a lifeline in this dark world of sin. Eternal life is the ability to know God and ask Jesus any question so that he can effectively direct your life. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In the same way that Jesus had life in himself, you also have to choose life by denying yourself daily. You have to choose the narrow way, where you cannot just do what you want when you want. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The narrow way is a life of faith, hearing the Father's commands through a love relationship with him, so your love can grow and your faith can be purified too. David said in the Psalms, this is Psalm 24, verses 3 to 10. This is the Psalms, chapter 24. I'm reading verse 3. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully? Verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Verse 8. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Verse 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Verse 10. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. You must let God fight your battles. Your battle is the fight of faith to keep using the gift of eternal life and remain free from any corruption that comes about by using your own carnal reasoning. If you go back to the flesh, you'll reap the consequences of sin. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 6. I'm reading verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. God is there to make sure that everyone reaps what they sow, even if the devil makes them comfortable in this world. You can repent if you respond quickly to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If not, then you may wake up later through reaping the consequences and realize that you have sinned against God. He has also made it possible for you to restore fellowship with him any time you lose the conscious presence of God by faith. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4. And he that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5. But whosoever keeps his word in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Verse 6. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. By the grace of God, you can get back in the presence of God instantly. If you are tempted to believe that God will not forgive you again and again, then remember, Jesus paid the price for the sins of the whole world. The purpose of God's forgiveness is to give you ears to hear the wisdom he provides so that you can live like his son did on this earth, doing the will of the Father. Make sure your motive is that you want to know God and show him that you love him by keeping his commandments. For more information on how to develop a love relationship through the commandments with God, please refer to the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. The forgiveness of God is available 24/7 so that you can come back in his presence immediately. Repent and hear God more clearly. Through the Holy Spirit, you are born again by the Spirit, and he comes inside you through the cleansing work of Jesus on the cross by grace through faith alone. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 to 40. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 2, I'm reading verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1, on Getting Started, on page 16, Joseph Hedgecock writes, Allow the Spirit to show you what you should repent of. This includes sins of omission and commission, things that you are not doing that you should be doing, and things that you are doing that you should not be doing. It's very important to process conviction properly through repentance, and repentance should take place in the presence of your Father. Do not be discouraged as you go through this process. It is necessary and it's good for you. The Holy Spirit is God's gift for righteousness' sake, not based on any religious background or gain by doing good works. Through repentance, you can escape the corruption that's in this world through lies. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The worldwide pandemic of sin and depression can be traced back to the lack of the love of God in men's hearts. TV and radio stations would struggle today without this pandemic and have nothing bad to report. If everyone had a full supply of the love of God, there would only be good news. The world does not believe that the gospel can solve all the world's problems. Mankind has another agenda that includes the comforts of the flesh. Man believes in his own ability to solve issues his own way. But by faith, you are part of God's solution with a unique calling. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 28. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 8, I'm reading verse 28. And we know that all things work together for them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. In the church, we should have nothing but good news based on the promises of God, doing the things out of love for God with a calling that does not change. You may be tempted to resist the truth and conviction and be in a hurry to get more knowledge. However, the wisdom he gives is so that you can overcome the hindrance of your spiritual life first. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1 to 3. I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Verse 2. And if any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. Verse 3. But if a man love God, the same is known of him. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition in chapter 1, on knowing God, on page 10, Joseph Hedgecott writes, today, success seems to be the theme in most churches. If it's successful, it must be good. However, some of the most ungodly people in the world have the greatest success. There are many people who lie, cheat, and steal to gain success. I'm not saying it's evil to be successful, but making worldly success your goal is the deception that has unfortunately made its way into the church. Even if you obtain it, what do you really have? You have gained something which has only temporal value. Success is best defined as knowing God personally. The knowledge that God provides is so that you obey him because you love him, and he gives you all the intelligence you need without getting contaminated with sin. We read in Luke 11, verse 27 and 28. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm reading verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Verse 28. And he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In the book Light, revised edition, in chapter 18, on balancing knowledge and wisdom, on pages 112 and 113, Joseph Hedgecott writes, God wants you to gain knowledge, but it must be balanced with wisdom. First of all, let's define knowledge as revelation or divinely revealed truth. Knowledge is truth or revelation from the word, godly teaching or preaching, or direct revelation from God that provides understanding of his kingdom. When you receive knowledge, it must be balanced with wisdom, so you don't become puffed up, lifted up in spiritual pride. You gain wisdom as opposed to merely acquiring knowledge by being a doer of the word. When God's word is received by faith and then obeyed until it becomes part of your Christian character, wisdom is not produced. As you seek God for more knowledge or revelation, you must continue to put his word into practice through obedience. As you move from classroom training, acquiring knowledge, to practicing that knowledge in daily life, on-the-job training, God will provide you with whatever is needed to obey the word he gives you. This cycle produces wisdom and maturity, and it is continually repeated as you grow in the Lord. It also eliminates spiritual pride. If your walk with God is inconsistent and you move into pride when God reveals truth to you, you are not balancing your knowledge with wisdom that is gained through obedience. Obedience to godly revelation requires repentance and a change in your life, thus keeping you in humility. If you move into spiritual pride whenever God speaks to you, he has to continually resist you. If you humble yourself, receive his word, and put it into immediate practice through repentance and obedience, and you will not move into spiritual pride. If you do not keep the flesh crucified, you will get puffed up again, and then you have to be humbled again. Hearing and obeying his voice consistently in all areas leaves no room for the devil, and you stay humble. We read in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 4. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. The word decline in Strong's is number 5186, a primitive root to stretch out or to spread out, by implication to bend away from. Used in a great variety of applications, it can mean to decline, to extend, or go beyond. It also can mean incline or intend or lay or let down or outstretch, pervert or pitch or prolong, put away, spread out, stretch forth, or take aside, or even turn aside, or cause to yield. Do not turn away or depart from the words that Jesus has given you through the Holy Spirit. This is not just theories based on doctrines of men. The knowledge that God brings includes conviction and truth individually delivered by the Holy Spirit. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The word iniquity in Strong's is number 93. It comes from a word meaning legal injustice, moral wrongfulness of character, life, or act. Iniquity or unjust or unrighteousness or wrongs. Noah Webster in 1828 defined iniquity as, number one, injustice, unrighteousness, a deviation from rectitude, as in the iniquity of war, the iniquity of the slave trade. Number two, want of rectitude, in principle, as a malicious prosecution originating in the iniquity of the author. Number three, a particular deviation from rectitude, a sin or a crime, wickedness, or any act of injustice. In Peter's list in 2 Peter chapter 1, after knowledge comes self-control. This is the opposite of iniquity. Iniquity is departing from the word of truth. If you belong to him, you can please God by faith, not by making excuses for things wrong or unrighteous in your character. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 2, Joseph Hedgecott writes, I came to the conclusion that if my life did not line up with the Bible, then there were no excuses for it. There were only reasons. And when I began to search the scriptures for those reasons, while being led by the Holy Spirit, I began to make progress. I discovered that the reasons could be identified and removed through repentance until there were no more reasons. After self-control comes steadfastness or patience. Then after patience comes godliness. Paul also said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. The word follow after is number 1377, a prolonged and causative form of a primary verb to flee. Or to pursue, by implication, even to persecute, or ensue, or follow after, or press towards. The fruits of holiness produced by precious faith daily can be derailed or shipwrecked through the love of money. When corruption started in the church, Timothy was told to be an example of others who had a heart after God. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy was told to be soldier-minded and strong in the grace of God to pursue those things that Peter mentioned in his second letter. Timothy had to believe God would make a way where there appears to be no way. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, For we walk by faith, not by sight. Many do not want to hear the whole truth in these last days, and they will even support or encourage those teaching what they want to hear instead. Some may tell you to rely on the power of God, but not tell you to ask God everything, especially now corruption is in the church. Many do not see the need to deny themselves and take up their cross daily. Jesus is the captain of God's army and came in a human body just like us and had to suffer for righteousness' sake. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Give him the desires of your heart and entrust yourself completely to the Father, and you will abide in Christ and live. By making an excuse for sin, you're denying him, like Peter did three times. If you do this, he will now deny you, because through Christ, you have the possibility to ask God any question using the gift of eternal life. Suffering is part of godliness, but because you are submitted to Jesus, the Father will provide. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus suffered doing the will of God and saw this as a privilege. Any suffering for righteousness' sake you go through is not a result of your own mistakes, but is required to be an image of God. Man was created not to be an image of himself. God designed you, including your DNA structure, to serve God. You are not designed to be Lord, but to take your place under Christ, because he is Lord. You are designed to reflect God's love and be a representative of him, and let his love shine through you. To express brotherly kindness, you first need godliness, and that means persecution. Suffering will enable you to express God's love perfectly. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 28 to 34. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 28. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. Verse 29. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Verse 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Verse 31, and as you would that men would do to you, do you also to them likewise. Verse 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Verse 33, and if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Verse 34, and if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Perhaps somebody comes and mistreats you, but you don't react. Instead, you are able to turn the other cheek and rejoice. The world looks at this like a weakness. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34 and 35. This is John's Gospel, chapter 13. I'm reading verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. A spirit of fear will take advantage of those who think others will walk all over them on the narrow way following Jesus' teaching. However, Joseph Edgecock, the author of the book My Sheep and My Voice, had a testimony of no fear in his life. God was his source and supplier on the narrow way. However, you must decide to follow Christ yourself. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This is 1 John chapter 4, starting verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. After brotherly kindness comes Christian love. Fear of suffering that comes from holding on to the things of this world will stop you from being able to love others as you should. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 11 to 13, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Peter wanted the church not to forget that Jesus overcame. He saw Christ in his majesty beat the devil by the knowledge of God, hearing and obeying the Father in heaven. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. This is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit will also help you to face whatever challenge or command he gives you, and bear witness to you personally that he is pleased with you because you use your faith for everything. Jesus said in John 17, verse 19, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus did not just die on that cross. First, he had to qualify to die and be the Lamb of God by fulfilling all the scriptures. This is how John the Baptist also recognized Jesus, by the way he walked towards him by faith, full of grace and truth, led by the Spirit, and had no fear in his eyes. We read in John chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, and I'm reading verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Verse 30, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus admitted himself to the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is given to everyone who is born again, and the Spirit can now dwell in them by faith. The Holy Spirit is there to help those seeking God's righteousness by obeying the truth. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, in Galatians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Jesus did not become the Lamb of God without submitting to God's plan for salvation and doing his own will. Your sanctification starts by obeying the truth. You listen to the Holy Spirit and not your own opinions. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I mean verse 21. For he that hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that ye might be made the righteousness of God in him. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 12 on practical applications, on page 182, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the belief that you are automatically in Christ simply because you're born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature of the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. Being in Christ depends on you. In Christ, you will be sanctified as you abide. Christ has paid the price for you to abide. If you do not, then you are a lazy believer and faithless. He has done his part and said, it is finished. So now you have to submit to the Holy Spirit, even when chastened, and listen. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. For you to abide in Christ, you have to stop following the dictates of the flesh. It's possible to please God, but only by faith, walking in the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. You are to walk in the plans that God preordained with the knowledge of the truth. You may not hear what God is saying exactly, but you know when the Spirit is grieving because you are not doing something out of love. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh the saints. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave to give mankind the possibility to know God personally. His death removed the barrier between God and man. Paul learned how to fight the good fight of faith by hearing his voice. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. the more you are obeying and keeping his commands, the less you have to be corrected daily. You will not be rebuked now or ever if you're keeping his commands out of love. Paul also said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 14. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might not be perfect, but you have entered the kingdom by faith, humbling yourself. Remain humble by confessing your sin and staying in Christ when you are corrected. You can stay in the kingdom through regular repentance. Expect the Holy Spirit to convict, teach, and comfort you through the verses coming back to your mind, and do whatever else he shows you out of love. Paul also spoke about the bride of Christ in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and reading verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God is transmitting his perfect will for every child of his. You wash daily if you want to be clean. You need to deny yourself daily too, so that your opinions do not hinder you from hearing the rightly divided word of truth. If you are just born again, you will not be made into the bride of Christ without the process of sanctification starting. The disciples were already clean through the fact that they were following Christ, hearing and obeying what he taught. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, this is Hebrews chapter 4, I'm reading verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Many do not want correction and repentance. You will have to learn many lessons in your spiritual life. Carnal Christians are lazy, love to eat, drink, fellowship, and just call Jesus Lord. But they need to repent and redeem the time. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. This is Ephesians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 8. For we were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. If you've been transformed by the knowledge of God, you're awake to righteousness and living in the light, repenting regularly. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. If you are really abiding in Christ, your life is changing. If you're resisting truth, daily conviction and correction, that is not faith in God, who is able to finish what he started. You are being sanctified and made ready for his appearing by the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. The good news Paul was preaching required a firm reliance on God and full surrender. Faith properly used will involve asking God what clothes to wear and food to buy. In the Amplified Bible, Romans 1 and 16 defines the gospel like this. It is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance. The precious faith is the means to be free from the corruption in this world and to do whatever God has planned for you in this life. What are you waiting for? You can do this without serving the God of this world too through God's commands. The devil is not the problem. You may not believe that it's possible to live the sinless life because you've been listening to the excuses of your flesh in the past. The fruit of listening to excuses will produce more doubts, and this will hinder your faith. David said in the Psalms 16 and verse 11. This is in the Psalms. I'm reading chapter 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Many church people still believe a lie, that if you serve God, you will never have fun again the rest of your life on the narrow way. There is nothing more enjoyable than doing his perfect will by faith, denying yourself daily and taking up your cross. In the past, you may have repented many times, but still ended up doing good works again and got frustrated when the grace ran out. It's not the good person who will please God, but the one who can discern the path of life that is the perfect will of God by the Spirit and obey. The carnal mind makes wrong choices, so you must deny yourself daily. Salvation comes by accepting his authority over your life, trusting him now to raise you up on the last day. If he is not Lord of your life now, then you're not trusting him with your life and deceiving yourself because your faith is not in him. If you are serving sin, how can you expect to be part of the kingdom to come? Because the kingdom of God is already here now by the Spirit for you to be directed by faith. If you are still Lord of your own life, you're actually trying to be saved by doing works. And no one is saved by doing good works. If you want to hear, get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted to heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prisoner, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about precious faith. Precious faith is like a jewel for those who are walking in this world, walking with him on the narrow way. It is their daily life of trusting God with all their heart. They're walking in humility. They need their faith every day to know exactly what to do. They don't miss the heartbeat of God because they have the joy of serving Christ now, not just coming. How are you going to be ready? If you don't have that joy now of serving Christ, when will it start? Jesus is coming. And if you don't have that joy now, when he appears, how will you have it then? Joy is a sign. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. Not a joy that this world can provide, but the joy of the Lord is a sign that you are ready for his appearing. Father, I pray for those who are listening to this message that their lives will be transformed, that they will humble themselves and they will cry out to you for mercy, that they have not walked in faith, and that, Father, that they will become like little children through this message and cling to your every word and not lean to their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge you and live the life of faith that you planned for their lives from the beginning. relying completely on the Holy Ghost. I pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch with us if your life has been changed. God bless you and thank you for listening.